Coming up on podcast 1076, I reveal the world's smallest electric delivery van. Stick around, I've got all the details. Also the podcast today, Polestar developing their own video streaming app, superchargers for boats, and hundreds of Mackie spotted getting off the boats in Norway. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Saturday, 8th of May. My name is Martin Lee. My job to go through every EV story, so you don't have to. Hopefully you're having a good weekend. What are you getting up to? We'll start with this news about the world's smallest electric delivery van. It comes from Citroën. Earlier this week, I was talking about the Amy, and this is a small two-seater. The exact dimensions, let's get this right, 2.41 metres long, 1.39 metres wide, and 1.52 metres tall. This car is about as small as they get. In fact, it's not even technically classified on the roads in France as a motor car. However, what Citroën thought it would be fun to do would be to strip out the passenger seat and allow spaces for boxes, therefore making it a light commercial goods vehicle and perfect for last mile deliveries or something like that. Gone is pretty much any luxury, not that there was, but at least the seat for the passenger has completely gone. In its space, storage, and it's been designed around those inner city delivery ideas. It's got a payload of 140 kilograms, it says here on the Citroën press site, and a maximum load capacity of 400 litres, perfect for zero emissions last mile deliveries, they say. And it'll do 47 miles, that's 75 kilometres, from its 5.5 kilowatt hour battery pack. Full charge takes 3 hours on just a, that's not even DC fast charging, I'm not sure it can, on a standard plug socket. Goes on sale in this configuration in July, and it's going to cost €6,500. Leasing, though, right, so they want to lease you one of these. So if you want to start a business or start a side hustle delivering packages or something like that, leasing starts at €24.18 a month. It's just unbelievably cheap. The way that they've done it is they've put in a, they've taken out the passenger seat, put in a modular shelf, they say. A secondary shelf unit can hold 40 kilograms and has been designed either as a storage unit or as a mobile desk with a cutout A4 size that can hold forms and paperwork. There's an adjustable floor next to the driver. The cargo floor can be raised and locked vertically so as not to obstruct the cargo zone or lowered into a horizontal position to match the level of the vehicle floor. The latter position allows carrying of items 1.2 metres long. And, you know, when I first saw this, I kind of laughed, I chuckled, I thought, oh, that'll be a nice, funny, and finally story on the podcast. Leave them laughing, all that kind of stuff. And then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, well, this is brilliant, because there are so many packages, in inner cities at least, that would go into a vehicle like this that don't need a big stinky diesel van. How many times, as have it happened to you, I don't know, have you had a delivery turn up and maybe a large wagon or large van, even a lorry has turned up outside your house, and a couple of times I've seen them roll up the big back door and there's like three parcels inside, and sometimes even just my own, and I'm thinking, why have they sent a vehicle that big? Just because they, what they've got on their fleet. Now, I don't live in London anymore. We moved out of London a few years ago. I'm down by the beach these days. But when I was in London, certainly a lot of my friends and colleagues would use Amazon's 1 hour. Was it 1 hour delivery on Amazon? Or was it same day? I think it was like, I forget now, because we're not, where I live isn't big enough to have that. So I've kind of lost interest in that same day Amazon thing, but it was certainly very, very quick. It was like, oh, I need some batteries for that kid's present that I'm giving tomorrow. I'll order them on Amazon. They'll be here in an hour or so. And again, I did work in, you know, W1, Central London. This kind of vehicle is ideal for those, not just for, you know, Uber Eats and Deliveroo, not just bringing food to people's desks whenever we do go back to offices and things like that, but generally, any small-ish parcel that will fit in a vehicle like this that is safe, four wheels, has a roof, bit of a heater, you know, it's so much better than a larger vehicle and probably more comfortable and practical in terms of how much you can have on board than using cycle couriers, which again I used to see tons of in London, using those kind of those electric cargo bikes with the big storage on the front. This is absolutely brilliant. For €25 a month to lease it, why wouldn't you try and build a business around a fleet of these. If you operate, I don't know, a fleet of vehicles and you need 10 or 20 of these in the middle of London or Paris, New York, to get around quickly, you can drive it into parking spaces front on, it's so short. Charging might be an issue if it takes 3 hours to charge fully. But what if you're going back, you do a series of runs that use a quarter of the battery or something, and then you go back, it's on a short loop to a depot or something, then you get back, you plug in immediately, go do the paperwork, maybe have an enforced, you know, driver break, and we have laws here over how long you can drive for, and then load up the next parcels and off you go again. If you're always opportunity charging whenever the vehicle is stopped, this could be a perfect solution. Maybe it needs a slightly bigger battery and a slightly longer range, but I don't know. I think they're onto something here. I think it's brilliant. 47 miles, 75 kilometers. That's going to go down when it's cold, but still, I love it. I was going to make a joke out of it. I'm so sorry for that assumption. Brilliant. This could revolutionize last mile deliveries in big urban areas. Citroën, I love you for doing this. Just so, so cool. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about Polestar developing an app, a beta app, available in its European markets, bringing a streaming service to the Android-powered touchscreen in the middle of the car to keep you entertained while you're charging, says futurecar.com. They write that news and national TV will be available first of all. SVT in Sweden, TV2 in Norway, GoPlay and RTBF in Belgium, plus BBC, Al Jazeera, and Polestar saying that channels specific to other markets will be added. If you're streaming video on that center screen and you take it out of park, the screen turns off, says the article here, but the audio continues, which is great. I don't know hopefully they'll pull YouTube into this. I mean, surely I've not driven a Polestar 2 and played with kind of the YouTube stuff, but it's based on Android. It's not Android Auto. It is Android. So YouTube already will be really highly integrated. But how does that work with their own player? That's really, really cool. More entertainment. I love the way that that car companies are thinking different about EVs and giving drivers more options to use their cars for different things rather than, you know, the traditional car makers have done. So I think I can thank Tesla for that one, I think, in terms of that big screen and using it as an entertainment center. Next, we'll talk about supercharging for boats. I found this one on Instagram. This is so cool, says the post. Charging at 152 kilowatts with the world's first supercharger for boats opened today, says the account Electric Voyage, or Evoy. Following them on Instagram. That looks really cool. And you know, marine and aviation are a couple of areas where it's going to be so hard to get fossil fuels out of. But certainly with marine, if they can get some more batteries in boats and a really good charging, they called them superchargers, but a really good charging network. I love it. It just, again, it really made me smile. Thought, that's a great weekend story. Another post that made me smile was the news about Mach-Es arriving in Norway. And this was a Twitter post from the account Mach-E_vlog. Starting deliveries now in Norway, a pic taken on the 28th of April with hundreds, I don't think it's thousands, but at least hundreds of Mach-Es all lined up in their protective clothing after being shipped. It's just come off the ship, of course, here in the port. 4,000 Mach-Es are going to be delivered in Norway this month and next as well, in total, which, if they're all for the Norwegian market, will make the Mach-E the best-selling car of the year so far. Sorry, best-selling EV. Actually, maybe best-selling car. At the minute, it's the ID4 followed by Tesla Model 3. But, you know, 4,000 over May and June will put this one, I would think. I think it puts it in the lead in Norway. I love this site. If you're watching the YouTube version of this show, I love pictures like this because it's just, you know, each one of those, it's just a picture of cars as far as the eye can see. But when you think about every one of those is a new owner, a new family, someone who's been waiting for this vehicle, who are just going to be so pumped about driving a really, really cool electric vehicle. I love stories like this. Makes me smile. Next, we'll talk about Tesla and their self-driving, automated driving features, which Tesla insist is level 2. Don't call it any more than that. Of course, this uses the SAE levels. Level 2 is driver assistance. Now, Tesla fans get really angry when I talk about this because I get emails, then comments, and people say to me that I'm dumbing down or I'm not giving Tesla the praise that they deserve for their full self-driving, which is, you know, going to drive the cars, you know, robo-taxis, all that kind of stuff. And I don't mean this in any way, but they really have drunk the Kool-Aid and not bothered to do any independent thinking of themselves. Articles like this, Electronics Weekly reporting that a conference call between the California's DMV and Tesla themselves, Tesla's engineers, were talking about the self-driving features, as it's labelled. And the DMV said, an official body in California, saying Elon's tweet does not match the engineering reality. Tesla is at level two. Tesla indicated, so their engineers, whether they, you know, the DMV should be saying this or not, but it's a confidential phone call, indicated they are firmly in level two, and Tesla is aware about public misunderstanding about the limits of the technology and its misuse and how it can have tragic consequences. And I think that's a real key, actually, that and again I try and hold people's criticism of me at bay, because I'm always praising Tesla's suite of driver assistance systems, but that's all it is. It's probably the best out there on the market at the minute. But it helps the driver. It's not intended to do any more than that. And it does have tragic consequences. And, let me remind you of this one. Mr. Musk saying in December 2020, and I quote, "I'm extremely confident that Tesla will have level 5 next year. Extremely confident, 100%, end quote, said Elon Musk. Only in December last year. So he is referring to sometime before the end of this calendar year, the cars being level 5. And I'm not going to talk about the levels 0 to 5 right now, because you can find them all online. Level 5, no steering wheel. The vehicle will handle every possible circumstance that it faces and doesn't default back to a human. So doesn't default back to a driver in the car, doesn't fall over and default back to a remote driver, say in a kind of connected office somewhere thousands of miles away, that it can handle every situation, every weather condition on its own. Elon Musk, I'm confident we'll get level 5 next year. So in other words, this year. Extremely confident, 100%. Come on, people. They do great things, but sometimes you've got to call up BS when you see it. Next, I'll talk about Tesla's self-driving mode on city streets and how it gets, I think, an unfair criticism, because there is one particular video that's been online, and I haven't talked about it on this podcast yet. You probably, if you're a fan of Tesla, you'll have seen this. It's a video of self-driving published, and, you know, Mashable UK describe it as 13 minutes of terror. Maybe they're going for clicks here. I don't know. They say it's comically bad about how terrible the car is. It's very concerning. Driving through downtown Oakland is nothing like the wide boulevards and predictable traffic patterns of suburbia. The Tesla didn't know what to do with itself, says this article. At one point, the car goes into a left turn only lane, but drives straight towards some parked cars. They say it is a harrowing 13 minutes of YouTube. The car gets honked at for taking turns too slowly and stopping too much, usually because it seems to think a pedestrian is nearby. Yeah, I watched this when it was first posted. I had a look at it to see if it was real and whether it was, you know, faked. It looked pretty real. I didn't talk about it at the time because, you know, for every video posted by someone who loves full self-driving, there'll be something, against it. Worth saying, all those people that do have access to the beta software at the minute are handpicked by Tesla. They're promising to open it up to a much, wider base. And I think that'll be very good when they do that, because we'll see some more real-life examples online. This person seemed to have an axe to grind, and this article seems to have, an axe to grind. Or maybe, like I say, maybe it's just, going for clicks, where I think it's overly critical of a system that is clearly in an environment which it wasn't designed for. And I know the Tesla fans will tell me, hey, full self-driving beta is just the bee's knees. It'll do everything. It'll cope with every situation. But it's really, really not. And we shouldn't be getting mixed up in terms of our friends, our family, the wider public, how the media talk about that, and thinking that our cars in any way are going to drive themselves before the end of the year. Next, we'll talk about the Mercedes-Benz EQS getting unboxed, and that will be by, yes, Unbox Therapy and Lewis from the YouTube channel, who has millions of subscribers. This video with the Mercedes-Benz EQS that I watched earlier today has 2 million views already. And he gets up and close and personal with the Mercedes-Benz EQS. He loves it. He says it's like stepping into a piece of technology than stepping into a car. And he loves the lighting. He played with the seats for ages. He played with a lot of stuff that I hadn't seen on those launch videos around the EQS. Of course, he loves the doors that close themselves. That's pretty cool. But, you know, Model X does that. But certainly the way that he was playing around with the like the seat controls and the lumbar support and though just like the way that the UI works, it looks really, really good. And none of the launch videos I saw really went into that because they were too busy talking about, you know, battery sizes and, you know, why you can't lift up the hood and you have to open up a weird little flappy bit in the side of the car to put your washer fluid in. But well worth watching if you got some time this weekend. He rates it very, very highly. And he is a Taycan owner, or maybe he's a Tesla owner. He's a Taycan owner, I believe. And he says it's just pure luxury. And he said in the video, I won't spoil it, but you need a week in this car to fully explore all the various bits of it. Next, I'll talk about how car dealers are embracing electric vehicle sales, because I think the dealers get a really hard time sometimes. Some of them bring it on themselves. This article from the Las Vegas Review Journal, I found, written by a car dealer who says that as a Nevada auto dealer who's been in the business for 42 years, this chap writes, "I can assure you we want to sell electric cars. Today's EVs are powerful, sleek and long range. And with the ongoing expansion of infrastructure, makes ownership more convenient. Today's dealerships sell in person and almost all have an option to sell online. They'll take it to your house if you want. Direct-to-consumer companies, so many EV companies, don't have anything like a dealership model. Many of the new one startups will simply want to do a direct model to sell you that car direct-to-consumer. They won't budge on price. Competition between neighbouring dealers has proven to drive down prices on the same model," he writes in this article. In 2020, Nevada's 100 new car dealerships were responsible for 10,000 jobs, paying an average salary of $73,000. I'm in the wrong job. I need to go sell cars in Las Vegas. But it's a really interesting point, actually, that this chap here writing in this journal saying, look, there's good and bad out there, but as a dealer, he wants to sell good electric cars, and that is a big fan. I think dealers get a bad reputation sometimes. I've had good and bad experiences. Okay, moving on. The NHRA is creating an EV class for drag racing. The National Hot Rod Association adding electric vehicle class to its drag racing events. Chevrolet and Ford have already shown us what they can do with electric power, says this article, with the Ecopo Camaro and the Cobra Jet 1400. Now, the class debuting in 2022 at the Summit Racing Series. We'll see EVs racing against each other in their own class. And maybe they did this because they were under pressure. I don't know, because whenever I watch a drag racing video, the EV always wins. And so I wonder if they were like, look, we've just got to put EVs in their own class, because whenever they go up against a fossil car, they spank it. So make the EVs all race together, then that way they can have their little race, and our noisy, smelly combustion cars, which are really slow in comparison, well, let them have a little turn at winning, because we're very sad at losing. That might not be what it's all about. You know, I'm naturally cynical about these things. Thank you very much for listening and watching today on your Saturday special edition of the podcast. Our usual interviews we do at the weekends will return very soon, actually, lining up a good one very soon. Question of the week tomorrow. I'll read out your answers with emobilitynorway.com. EVs are connected cars, but how much data are you willing to give up? And what are you wanting to receive in return? Let me know. Email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. So if you can ever leave a review on Apple Podcasts, on your phone, your iPad, your computer, use iTunes. If you do, condolences. I do. Pretty terrible, isn't it? You can use the rate and review function of that to say a few words. Like, he's not too bad, I suppose. It's okay. Generally, compliments like that go down very well when I read them, and it helps other people see it as well. But yeah, if you've got time, no worries. If not, I know you're busy, so am I. If you want to check out the Patreon, this show will always be free because individuals and businesses fund it, and it protects our independence. It means I could do this. And check out Patreon, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. I'd really appreciate it, but no worries if not. Like I say, Phil Roberts of Electric Future is our premium partner. Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, along with nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com. Derek Riley and his EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Richard at rsev.co.uk. If you're in the UK, I'm sure you have already. Check him out if you're buying and selling. And emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.